we warmly welcome you again to another half hour of Christian Radio Fellowship. The program you are tuned to is Times of Refreshing, a production of the Voice of Melody Victoria, and is presented for your listening enjoyment by your friend Harry Venton. It is our prayer as we share this time together that our ministry in song and devotion from the Word of God will be challenging, uplifting, and a spiritual blessing to you all. Over the next 4 weeks, we purpose to present a further series of 4 programs, and the meditations for these programs will be from the Book of Jonah. As the Book of Jonah comprises just 4 chapters, we will consider a chapter each week. We are sure you will find this series to be a blessing in your life. The topic for today's program from chapter 1 is Jonah's disobedience. Now let's listen together and enjoy our first recording, the song entitled Wonderful Grace of Jesus. The story of Jonah opens with him receiving a divine commission. Verses 1 and 2 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. How the word of the Lord came to Jonah we are not told. However, having received his divine order, he was expected to obey. The first word to him was, Arise and go, indicating there was important work to do. On a previous occasion, it is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25 that Jonah had been entrusted with messages from God to his people Israel. Now, he has the unique distinction of being sent unto the Gentiles. Arise and go to Nineveh, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. The moral corruption of the great metropolis has reached its limit. Such wickedness, rising up before the eyes of the all-seeing God, had provoked the divine wrath of God, and Jonah is summoned and charged to go to Nineveh and pronounce its doom. No longer can its wickedness be overlooked. It is an unspeakable honour to be a messenger of God at any time. But we find in verse 3 that Jonah was not well pleased to be sent to preach judgment upon the city of Nineveh. May I suggest two reasons why Jonah was so indifferent to God's word to go to Nineveh? First, it was the known goodness of God, as we read in chapter 4 and verse 2. Jonah was sure that if the Ninevites repented of their wickedness, God would show mercy. And secondly, Jonah allowed a national pride, feelings, desire, and inclinations to rule in his heart, rather than be faithful to the divine command from God and speak against Nineveh. Now, instead of going east, he started directly west. And here is a picture of Jonah the backslider. Jonah knew the Lord, and knew that the Lord had called him. And so it is hard to understand how he could be so foolish as to imagine he could run away from God. Verse 3 says, he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Friends, it is a vain effort to try to flee from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12 stresses this very definitely. I'm sure Jonah must have been familiar with the words of this psalm. What fools God's children become when they live in disobedience to his will and his word, and blind themselves to the truth of God. In his disobedience, Jonah went down to Joppa. It seemed quite providential that a ship was about to sail to Tarshish when the wayward prophet reached Joppa. But circumstances are not always a safe guide for God's children. Let us not forget this. It does not follow that because circumstances fit in nicely with our wishes, that God has ordered things for us. Here at Joppa, Jonah paid his fare to sail to Tarshish, a port on the coast of Spain. My Christian friends, note this. The path of disobedience is always down. Jonah kept on going down until he returned to his God. First he went down to Joppa, then he went down into the ship, then down the gullet of the great fish, and finally down into Sheol itself. There is no standing still in the path of disobedience. You either stop and return to the Lord, or go down, down and down. But God's eye was on Jonah all the time, even though he was trying to forget the Lord. After our next recording, we will look at God's dealing with his disobedient servant. Friends, as Jonah takes his journey to Tarshish, we read in verses 4 to 6 that the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This vividly expresses God's sovereignty over the elements. The storm was evidently regarded by the ship's crew as extraordinary in character, threatening destruction. No doubt the crew on this ship were of mixed nationality, yet they were united by a common dread and joined together in prayer. We read in verse 5 that every man cried unto his God. Meanwhile, they lightened the ship by the jettison of the cargo, but Jonah was fast asleep in an innermost cabin. Even here, Jonah was not hidden from God, and we see that his disobedience brought disaster not only upon himself, but upon others as well. What a tragedy! Asleep while judgment was pending, while death threatened all on board. In verse 6 we read, "The ship's master came to Jonah, saying, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." But the storm continued. In their peril and perplexity, and recognizing the severity of the storm, and that their supplications to their gods were unavailing, the sailors began to suspect that on board is someone who has incurred the divine displeasure. "Come, let us cast lots," they say to one another, "that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." And the lot fell on Jonah, as we read in verse 7. Friends, in verse 8, the heathen sailors eagerly question Jonah, and in verse 9 he makes a full confession to the mariners, but makes no confession to his Lord. He is still a backslider, a disobedient servant. But the storm continues, and the outlook becomes more terrible. Jonah, thoroughly awakened by the rebuke of the sailors, gives a most strange answer. In verse 12 he said to them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Friends, even though Jonah had told them that he must be cast overboard, they still insisted upon rowing hard in the hope that they might, by their efforts, reach the harbour and make the death of the substitute unnecessary. But all of it failed, and they had to come to the place where they were willing to accept the death of another if they were to be saved. Finally, we read in verse 15 that the mariners took up Jonah, unresistingly on his part, reluctantly on theirs, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Friends, to me, this looks like true conversion. How wonderfully God works in order to turn men's hearts to himself. He does it through a storm at sea, or by an earthquake at midnight, or through a simple message spoken over the airwaves. All serve to fulfill his purpose. Now, when Jonah was cast overboard, instead of sinking in the angry sea, he is gripped and held by the hand of God. God willed that he should be preserved for the carrying out of his divine commission. He had thus far refused to do. So it is recorded in verse 17 that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
He's calling you.
I've tears. Have you searched for that great hidden meaning, or is your life filled with long wasted years? Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you walk on in darkness and fear. Turn around, turn around. God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Search for wisdom and seek understanding. There is one who always cares and understands. Give it up, give it up. The load you're bearing, you can't go on with a life of wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish as you walk on in darkness and fear. Turn around, turn around. God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Turn around, turn around. God is calling, He's calling you from a life of wasted years.
Friends, the casting overboard of the prophet Jonah is to us a wonderful picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. In fact, our Lord himself said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 41, that Jonah was a picture and a type of his own death and resurrection. The Old Testament is full of shadows, types and prophetic pictures of the coming Redeemer, but probably nowhere in the whole realm of the Old Testament revelation do we find a more wonderful foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus and his redeeming work than in the book of Jonah. Briefly, we rehearse the story for you again. Jonah is in a small ship with a mighty tempest threatening to engulf it and plunge its occupants into a watery grave. The angry waves rise up until we read that the ship was nigh to be broken. My dear friends, that mighty tempest and the raging storm may well be taken to represent the righteous wrath of a holy God against the fallen race of Adam. Mankind as a whole today, like Jonah, has turned its back upon God and has turned aside to go his own evil way. In order for God to save us from the storm of his eternal wrath, he sent his beloved Son into the world. He came in likeness of sinful flesh, though he was without sin. He himself became partaker of our humanity, a sharer of all our weakness and infirmities. He became like unto us in all things, sin apart. Friends, tremendous importance was attached to his coming by God the Father. For this very one, the eternal Son of God, held the only key to man's salvation. Our Lord Jesus must die if we are to have eternal life. It is only by his death and resurrection that we can know redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Friends, again, the lesson we learn from this experience of Jonah being thrown overboard is that one man must die if others are to live. And this is the great doctrine of substitutionary atonement in the Word of God. The Lord of glory, who came to take our place and our sin upon himself and make it his own responsibility, he, like Jonah, was cast into the sea of God's judgment to die and rise again for our justification. The death of Jonah meant life for the trembling sailors. When they ceased struggling and believed God's word, salvation came to them immediately. My unsaved friends, God's plan of salvation for you has not changed. Paul reminds us in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Quoting the Apostle Paul again, we read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It is only by the provision which God has made in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast called.
Friends, as our time together draws to a close, we remind you of our free cassette offer. Today's program has been recorded on cassette and is available upon request, free and postpaid. You may obtain your copy by writing to us at this address: Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. When writing, be sure to mention this number, 1218. Program number 1218. And the mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. Times of Refreshing has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. We thank you, friends, for your listening support, and we look forward to your company next week for the second of our series from the Book of Jonah. Till then, this is Harry Benton for the Voice of Melody team, wishing you God's richest blessing, and remember, keep looking up.